just love you. We thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and worship you and give you praise. I pray that your anointing would be upon me this morning as I speak forth your word that would challenge us and transform us into your image. Father, help us with this message this morning. It is not an easy message. And God, I pray that that you would help me by your Holy Spirit touch and minister to our lives. Help us, oh God, to be submitted to you and committed to you in every way. And God, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. I am going to share from on the subject of submission and pride this morning. Two of probably our favorite things to talk about. And I think the Lord has shown me a couple of things in the last few days just that hopefully will help us get some understanding. One of the things was kind of motivated from our talk yesterday. We didn't really talk about pride and submission yesterday. We were in the men's breakfast, but we did talk about understanding our limitations and just understanding ourselves, what God is, you know, and understanding our limitations in that. And to know yourself and to know your limitations was the message yesterday. And so I began to, as we were talking, it kind of dovetailed into today's message just because of some of the things that came up. But let me read from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. I'm going to start kind of in the middle of the verse there, and then I'll come back later and talk a little bit more about the whole section of this scripture. But I want to kind of get our thought going in the right direction here and what we're talking about. So beginning with, at all you, all of you, be submissive one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now today, again, I'm going to be talking about these two areas of submission and pride. Now, as I was thinking about this, and yesterday really kind of stirred my thoughts towards this, I find it easier to be in agreement with people than I am willing to submit to them. Okay, and submit to them. So, and being submitted to someone is more than being in agreement with them. It's much more. In these areas, and God has called us into the area of agreement. We're to come into agreement with His Word. We're to come into agreement with Him. But He's also called us to be submissive to Him and turn our lives over to Him and be submissive. And they are two completely different things. And, cause I was thinking about it yesterday as we began to talk, we are all willing to be in agreement with people in certain areas. We all are. But the area of submission is different than that. Because when you're submitted to someone, something, okay, you may not always be in agreement. See, submission is not based upon agreement. There's a difference. See, now I can be in agreement with, and Art can be in agreement, Art and I can be in agreement about a lot of things. You know, we agree about a lot of things. And there are certain things that we might not agree about. But to be in agreement with one another is much easier than being in submission to someone where you may not be in agreement with them in an issue. And my greatest example would be husbands and wives, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But it's easy to be in submission. Let me just say this. It's easy to be in submission to something when you're in agreement. You can say, oh, I'm completely submitted to this. Yes, absolutely, because I'm totally in agreement. But the moment you come out of agreement, were you really in submission to it? See, because there is a difference. Rebellion against God always leads to trouble. Okay? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, we read a little bit about this on Wednesday. And Paul is saying to those in Thessalonica, he says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which you have received from us. Our commander in general is saying to us, get into ranks. See, the word disorderly here is the original word of disorderly came from the march when they would march in columns and guys would be out of step. They were disorderly in the march. And so you had to get in step. I remember when I was when I joined the Navy, back in 1979, but in 79 when I joined, when you get in boot camp, you get there, the first thing they do is they shave your head, which mine was already shaved, so they weren't happy with me, but they shave your head, and then they make you go into this room, and they just start breaking you down. That the military just begins to break you down. I don't know if any of you have ever been in the military, but that's what they do. Their first thing is to break you down and to bring you into an area of submission to doing whatever they tell you to do when they tell you to do it. And they do it gradually. They shave your head because they want to remove your ability to feel comfortable with your own hairstyle. Everyone looks alike. And then they march you over and over. Over and over, hours and hours. You're out there on this, what they call the grinder, and they just grind you down. And it's this big, huge blacktop, and they just march you around. Right turn, hut, to the rear, hut, skip step, hut, and you got to do all these things, to the left, and then to the right, and you have to stay in, and it's to get the whole unit marching together. And I remember when we first got there, they actually kicked this one guy out on a Section 8. He could not march. We'd be marching along, and all of a sudden this guy comes shooting out from the middle from somewhere because he just couldn't get into step. He was so disorderly. And they actually let him out because he was crazy. They gave him a Section 8 and let him out because he was disorderly. He couldn't get in order. And all of us, and one of the first things they teach you is how to do a skip step, so that you can skip and get on step, and so that if you're marching and you see you're out of order, you do a quick skip step and then you're back in step with everybody else, and then you can continue to march. Our company was a brigade company. And so we got all the awards and all that. So we used to do really cool stuff. Like we do two skip steps and then a reverse and then a skip step and then a reverse back and be going in the same direction. So we looked really cool when 70 guys do the exact same thing. And then we'd all go. And then right as we start marching, then we go whoosh, and kind of do the little bend and all that. And all of us together doing it. But see, we weren't out of order. We were orderly and we were in order. And God has called us to be orderly and to called us to march with Him in order. In not in a disorderly fashion, but in an orderly fashion. He's called us not to fall out of ranks, but to keep going. And what's interesting is that God is leading us and telling us to march this way or that way or in the direction of how He's asked us to go. And, to me, the mandate of the scriptures, it's funny because people always want to, what's God's will? Well, God's will is pretty simple. It's to preach the gospel. It's to promote the gospel. I mean, there are many avenues of which you may do. There's Gideon's, there's the pulpit ministry, there's helping hands, but it's all the same marching drill. It's to promote the gospel, to promote the love of Christ. And so the will of God is simple. Understanding your part in that will may be a little more difficult for you to discover, but the will of God is laid out in the Word of God. He says often in the Word of God, this is my will. This is my will for your life. Do this, and follow these steps, do this. And so there's an order in which God would have us to go, but sometimes we don't want to follow Him today. We get a desire, we get a little rebellion in us, I don't want to do this, I've got this to do today, and God, I don't want to follow after you. So, and then we get out there on our own, and we get out of ranks, and then something happens, and we get shot. And then we turn around, and we go, God, what did you do to me? How could you allow this to happen to me? How could you, and I'm not saying that the only time bad things happen to us is when we're out of the will of God, but when we're out of the will of God, bad things happen to us. We're much safer in the ranks with one another. And why are we safer within the ranks of one another? Is because we can help one another, we can comfort one another, we can bring our help bring each other through whatever difficulties they are. It's when you get out of ranks and you get in trouble that you find yourself lonely and without help. So you have to get into the rank with God and walk in the columns with God and be in step with God. And then that way, other people within the body of Christ can help you. Yesterday, Art was talking during our men's thing, was saying that it's important to understand our limitations and who we are within the body of Christ so that we can get help from others, so that the entire body of Christ can function one with another and become successful. Because it's when we get out of order, when the foot tries to do what the hand's supposed to do, when you don't understand what you're supposed to be doing. Now, in the area of submission, we are also tempted to rebel against human authority. We have two biblical responsibilities in regard to authority figures. We are to pray for them, and we are to submit to them. The only time God gives us permission to disobey earthly leaders is when they require us to do something morally wrong before God. Okay? And then we can say, no, I'm not going to go shoot that guy. Or no, I'm not going to be a part of the abortion of babies. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to be a part of stuff that is totally unscriptural. I'm not, listen, the whole Prop 8 thing. We are not going to be for the marriage of women to women and men to men. We are for the marriage of a man and a woman, period. End of story. We are not going to go against the scriptures there. And we will fight against our authorities that are out there when it comes to, when they begin to speak to us in areas that are against biblical principles that we follow. We will speak against that. But we will not rebel against them in other areas that are not sinful. We're going to be submissive to them, and we're going to follow after what they've asked us to do, even if it's kind of ugly, and or not nice, I should say. Ugly, we might be able to find a reason not to do it. No, let's look at some scripture to further kind of understand this. In civil authority, I have a few scriptures I want to read here. In Romans 13, 1 through 5, it says, now this is the Bible, this ain't Tim, so don't get mad at me as we read these. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Sometimes you may need a dumb leader. Are you saying I'm a dumb leader? Oh, okay, good. Listen, you guys, it's so funny to me because, listen, sometimes you get the Pharaoh you needed. Because it will bring you to a place of repentance, hopefully, that will bring things back in order in your life. Sometimes you need a Pharaoh that is not the kind of Pharaoh that you want. And God allows it so that the Christians will stand up and be the moral compass of a society. I'm just telling you, because Israel did not always have great leaders. But Israel always had the leaders they needed. And I know that's a hard concept sometimes, you know, because sometimes we get leaders that we don't really like. But that leader is in a position to bring us into we have to trust the Lord, amen? We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a sec. But no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists God and resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will be judged will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but for conscience sake. So in other words, they're going to, listen, they're there for a purpose. If you're doing the right thing, you have nothing to fear. It's now, okay, I'm going to give you an example. This is, I know this happens to every single person here, maybe. When a police officer, and you're driving down the road, and a police officer pulls in behind you, what happens? Everyone gets afraid. It's, oh no, oh no, oh no. Okay, are all my brake lights working? Is my registration right? And we run through the gamut of things. Oh, please don't pull me away. Please don't pull me. We look down at the speedometer. Okay. Oh yes, I do need to stop at this store. Ding, 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 ding. You know, no one likes having the authority behind you. But what brings on that fear even greater is when you are out of step with that authority. And you know you are. And you know that, oh, if he pulls me over, I'm getting arrested. Or if he pulls, oh man, I got this problem. I got that problem. I know this is, my registration's out. I know. So this is a perfect example of that scripture is like, look, if you're doing the right thing, you got nothing to fear. If you're doing the wrong thing, then you should be afraid because they carry a big stick for a reason. 1 Timothy 2:1-3 says, therefore, I exhort, first of all, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, it is really hard to be a good witness when you're not willing to be submissive to the authority that you put yourself under. It is hard to be a good witness to an officer when you're standing there drunk out of your mind. And you're explaining to him why you shouldn't get the DUI. You don't understand. I mean, I'm being extreme here because I know none of you would ever do that. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, when you're in rebellion, it's hard to be a minister. It's hard to have them see the truth. We should be praying for them. We should be ministering to them. We should be interceding for them. Listen, you know what? Listen, if you don't like Obama, pray that God's will would be done in his life. And listen, he may be doing exactly what God has called him to do. Wake us up. I'm just saying. And listen, I'll tell you this too. And I don't want to be rude here. Okay? And I'm not saying anything bad here. Okay? But part of the problem in America today is that we have our priorities messed up. Okay, I'm going to say something here, and I don't want anybody to leave the room and be upset with me because I want you to understand. Okay? In America, we love America too much. We have made an idol out of America. And in America, across the world, has risen above God. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. In fact, now I'm going to say something here and you got to listen to this part and hear me all the way through. Okay. I love our soldiers. Okay. But our soldiers are not what keep our freedom. God keeps our freedom. We are free because of the work of Christ on the cross. Okay? Now, am I respectful to soldiers and all that? Yes. But in America, we have risen our soldiers so high that they become our gods. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't give honor who is due, but we shouldn't allow that to rise above, okay, above God. Okay? Because we're not free because soldiers are fighting for us. We're free because of the work of Christ. We're free because of the work of God and the hand of God that is on us. And yes, good men and women die in the effort of God to keep us free. And we honor those for that. Does that make sense? Okay. But when you begin to rise them up and forget God, that's the same place Israel would get to. Israel will begin to think of themselves more highly than they ought to and begin to think that they are the great thing. See, this is why I talk about this sometimes, is I'm uncomfortable with when ministers get up and say, we got to do this to save Israel. We are Israel. I am Israel. The Jews are not going to heaven unless they know Jesus. I don't mean to be rude. Okay, all of Israel, the land is, it's not the land. It's the Israel of God that we are to save. It's not men that we're trying to save. It's the concept of God. Listen, if God wants that land, he'll just, and it's his. We support the Israel of God. We support those that are called and separated by God. Listen, Jews that don't believe in the New Testament and Christ are in just as bad a shape as Muslims who don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and Mormons who don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and Baptists who, and Pentecostals. If you don't believe in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you're lost, period. I don't care what people group you think you're in. None of that makes a difference. And so we need to be praying for our authorities to get the understanding of the power of God and repent of our sins. And because we've lifted things in America above the things of God. And we need God to be number one. That's the problem in America today. We've talked about it. It's greed. It's a lack of having God in things. If anything, we should recognize that. We should recognize that God is the one that is sovereign. God is the one who is in control. And we need to get back to that. Our forefathers knew it, and we've been hoodwinked into thinking something different. 1 Peter 2, 13 and 16. Boy, I just got off on something there. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether to kings as supreme or to governors or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. Again, you want to know what the will of God is? It's to be in submission to those that are in authority over us, because God put them there. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. In other words, if we're not doing good, we feed the ignorant man who says we're not doing good. Those Christians don't know what they're talking about. But when we're doing good, and we're doing the right thing, and we're following after it, ignorant men are silenced. But ignorant men have a voice today because we're not standing properly in submission to the authority that's here before us. We're not giving ourselves over to God like we should. As free, yet not using the liberty cloaked in a vice, but as bondservants to God. We need to be, everybody in this country needs to be committed to God. Jesus Christ is their Savior. Yeah, I said it. Everybody needs to get saved. Oh, well, that's kind of selfish, Pastor. Yes, it is. I'm sorry, but everybody needs to get saved. If we're going to be successful, we all need to be saved. We need to submit under those things. Parent, and when it comes to submission to parents, and all of us have them, whether adopted or biological, we all have parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Some of us are going to have a short life. We need to honor our parents. Be obedient to our parents. Obey our parents. It's important. It's not a little thing. It's a big thing. Husbands and wives, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24 through 25. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives be to your own husbands in everything. So be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. I put that in there so the guys wouldn't get crazy today. 1 Peter 3, 2 and 1 says, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. You want to know why your husband's still a knucklehead? It's your fault. I'm just saying. No, I mean, I'm just saying, if you're not doing it right biblically for your husband, how's your husband ever, I mean, you got to get out of the way. I've said that before. When they observe your chastened conduct accompanied by fear, when they see your love for God, they will fall in love with God. But let me say this. I want to say this. Women, you need to find a man or men that you can submit to their mission. You need to find a man with a mission that you can submit to. If you're having a problem submitting to your husband's mission, you probably should have looked at his mission before you submitted to him. And men, get a mission your wives love. Our mission as men is to treat our wives as Christ treats the church. As Christ gave his life for the church. That's our mission as men. But women, you need to find men with the right mission. You end up falling in love with some guy with a horrible mission, and then you end up submitting to him, and then he ends up being a mess and a knucklehead, and then you go, but God, we need to submit one to another. I don't know why God didn't put women in charge. Yeah, because women can get deceived. No, I don't know why. You know what? Because men can get deceived by their wives. Clearly. But I don't know why God put men in charge. But he did. And the whole world would be a whole lot better if men understood their place and women understood their place. And I don't mean that in a male chauvinist, evil, hold the women back kind of way. I mean that in the Christ loves the church and loves the women of the church. You know, I mean that in a great and broad way. I mean that in a great way. I do that. I do mean that. But we don't follow this thing. This is hard. Again, I go back to what I said in the beginning. It is really easy to come into agreement with someone. It is really hard to be in submission to someone. I mean, I can find areas to agree with you. I mean, we can sit down and we can agree on the things of Christ. And there are certain things, though, that we're not going to be in agreement with, maybe. And so for me to submit to you is much more difficult. And I can say, I can use the word submission. Oh, I'm willing to be submissive to George and his ministry, and I'm willing to submit to him. But then as soon as we get into disagreement, I pack my bags and I'm gone. And what was I really submitted? Did George ask me to do something that was outside of the will of God and contrary to the word? Because if he didn't, then my agreement shouldn't affect my submission. When you're at work with your employer, which is the next scripture I'm going to read, in 1 Peter 2, 18 through 21, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to do the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. What? If my employer is harsh, I'm supposed to be good to him too? For this is commendable if, because of consciousness towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you have been beaten for your faults, you take them in it partial patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you will call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Listen, if you do something wrong and you get grounded or get in trouble or get a spanking, you should, what good is it if you suffer that patiently? Because you did something wrong. You probably deserve this spanking. Are we still talking about husbands and wives? I don't think so. Bob just got the biggest smile on his face. Okay, so. But if we do the right thing, if we're doing the right thing, and we suffer anguish, we suffer pain, we suffer punishment, that's for God's glory. Because now we can kind of understand what Christ has gone through. We sort of get a glimpse of, I mean, he paid a price for us that was not, he'd done nothing wrong. And he paid a huge price for every one of us. And now we begin to understand what Christ is going through. So when you're at work and the employer says, take out the garbage, and you say, that's not in my job description, that's not being submissive. That's not submitting to your employer. Now, if he tells you to go out and strangle the driver of the truck and bury him behind the building, that you don't do. Because it's illegal. Or if he tells you that what he wants you to do is not ring that item up and we'll just keep the cash, you tell him, not a chance. Because that's morally wrong. That's against Scripture. You're not going to... I'm sorry, I can't do something illegal. And you take them aside. You might not do it publicly, but you take them aside and say, listen, I'm not going to steal something. When we're doing the inventory, we're going to count everything. I'm not going to miss things. I'm not going to do things illegally to benefit you. This I won't submit to. But if you want me to take the trash out when it's not in my job description, I'm your man. You want me to sweep the floor and it's not in my job description, I'm sweeping the floor. Do you see what I'm saying? There are things that we submit to, even if he's a nasty taskmaster that makes me do things that are not in my job description. I'm still doing them. But these are the things that God's trying to teach us, is that being submissive is okay. Because here's what it comes down to. Oh, I have one more. Church leaders. I'm only going to read this. I'm not going to say anything. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Oh man, I'm way over. So let me just finish with the submissive thing and I'll do pride next week. I wasn't going to say anything, but I will. You know, I had a minister one time tell me that he thinks the greatest person in a community is the pastor. Above the governor and the mayor, even though Mayor Johnson kept the kings, above the mayor, above all those things, because the governors, the police, the mayor of your community, they're not watching out for your eternal benefit. It's the pastor. It's the local pastor that gets in the pulpit, unabated in the pulpit, and gives you a message that you may not like. Where you have to pull your feet back and say, Pastor, you're kind of stepping on my toes a little bit here. It's the pastor that says, listen, I want to watch out for you in every aspect of your life. I'm the spiritual guy that tries to do the best he can, because here's the bottom line, is in the end, I'll be held accountable for every one of you, whether I told you the truth or not. Now, if you stick it out, great. If you don't, It's not for your benefit not to stick it out. Not to, because you want someone that's going to say to you and look you right in the face and say, that's sin, don't do that. You want someone that's going to say to you, look, there's certain things in your life you need to follow after the things of God. Be hungry for the things of God. Study the Word of God. You need someone spiritually challenging you every day to look deeper into yourself to be a greater you for God. That's the shepherd. That's the pastor. That's the spiritual leader. And when he chastens you to do the right thing and God's word penetrates your heart to do more, you shouldn't run from that, but take the trimming and get moving and do more and to make some adjustments maybe. Now I know that, because here's the thing, as we submit to God and God's line of authority, we choose to believe that God can protect us and bless us and will go and will do all these things. We must ask God to forgive us for the times that we haven't been submissive. It's a lack of faith. Listen, if you're not submissive to your husband, it's a lack of faith. If you're not submissive to the authorities that are over you, it's a lack of faith. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I know this to be an absolute fact because the scripture tells me the heart of Obama is in God's hand. And he can literally crush it or mold it and melt it into what he wants to do. But not if the country is in rebellion to our mandate to pray. Every leader is appointed by God for a purpose. Complaining, bitterness is not the answer. Praying is the answer. Listen, complaining and being bitter towards your husband or your wife is not the answer. But submitting and praying and asking God to begin to work on you, and God will do the rest. I know this is a tough, tough message. Submission, committing, giving yourself over to someone else and saying, you know what, I don't always agree with you, but I'm going to be submitted to this. Submission is far different than, and again, to just being in agreement with people. If they're biblically moving forward, then you can follow. You want a better husband. You want a better leader of our country. You want a better pastor. You want a better leader in your life. Submit to the one you got. The one that God's got in your life in those areas. And you'll get better. Things will get better. The lack of submission causes and stirs all kinds of things up that where God has a difficulty working in those areas. Submission, giving ourselves over, being committed. Let me read this last little prayer that I've written for you, and we'll talk about pride next week. So some of you guys get to keep your pride this week, and next week, crush that down. Amen. I don't know how you can be submissive and still have pride, though, but I love Dave's little thing. See, the name of this message, I'm going to tell you because some of you probably missed it. Submission and pride. Submission and pride, that's the name of the message. Do you see how pride wants to be bigger and rise up to try to be first? And it's submission and pride. He thought of that and was telling me about it this morning. I thought, man, that's really good. Submission is what needs to happen. Pride needs to be broken, but pride always wants to rise up and be the bold and try to be first. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is in your bulletin as well. You get to take this one home with you. Dear Heavenly Father, You have said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:32 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. I know that in action and attitude, I have sinned against you with a rebellious heart. I ask forgiveness of my rebellion and pray that by the shed blood of Jesus, or by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all ground gained by evil spirits because of my rebellion would be canceled. I pray that you will shed light on all my ways, that I may know the full intent of my rebellious and choose to adopt a submissive spirit and a servant's heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, amen." That prayer is available for you in your bulletins. If you want to go over that, we've been kind of handing out prayers each week for you to kind of go through in the subjects that we've been talking about. But guys, we need to be submissive to the things of God. We need to turn our hearts towards that and be submissive. Now, I'm not saying that you're supposed to be a doormat, so don't misunderstand me. I'm saying that you do need to be submissive. Amen? And maybe next week I'll add this thing I shared with the men last week. I'll add that, and then we'll talk more about pride next week. And I'll add those together and talk about that, because what we talked about yesterday was really quite good when it came to understanding our limitations. So maybe I'll add that for next week's pride thing. But let's pray some more. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from that relationship, if you'll slip up your hand, we want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. If you'll slip your hand up, amen. Amen. Lord, bless all these that are here today. I hope that today's message wasn't out of line, but God, I'm so frustrated sometimes by how we react to things that are happening in our world today. And God, it takes us falling on our knees and praying and asking you to make a difference. Lord, it cause us, humble us, that we would humble ourselves before you, that we would repent of our sin, and that we would support those that are in authority over us, Father. I pray, God, that you would do a marvelous and miraculous work in their lives. Begin to convert those that are in Washington, that are in our state capital, that those are in city leadership. Convert their hearts. Change them, oh God. Convert their hearts towards the things of God. Let them be receptive to your will and your way. Let us transform our cities and our states and our country into a country that is after you, oh God. Help us. Give us the wisdom to be submissive, that we might be able to promote the things that need to be seen. God, don't ever close off this pulpit from the Word of God, that it would speak forth the truth, that it would go out from this place and not return void, that it would accomplish the purpose to change and transform a city and a nation. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,